Killer Keller podcast. Killer Keller official.com.
You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the app store for free today.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
We're all in like an IKEA opening. Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller Podcast, live and direct, Central London, or as central as you need to be. Sharing is caring, okay? Make sure you share, tell a friend about the business. Hit the bell and subscribe, that's the deal. Big shout out to graffitikings.co.uk. And hold tight, everybody's got the Keller Vision app. Serves you right, sporting art and all that. Free download, Android, iPhone. I know you've heard this before, but you ain't seen this before. You ain't heard this before. We are jumping into the dirty south. We're going deep, deep, deep into the archives, into the unknown, with a gentleman that not only has been a friend of mine 19 long time, oh, for real, but also, he's from the mighty FDC. He goes by the name of Vids.
What's going on, Kels?
How are we, my brother?
It's good to be here, mate. Good to be here.
We got the call. And you know what? I think, in my heart, there's a reason why you weren't my first ever guest. It was almost, it would have been predictable.
Mm-mm. It's too obvious. It's too easy, isn't it? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
It is.
And sometimes you got to go into the depths,
yeah.
You know?
There's also a real private side to you. And a lot of emotives as to why things became what they were for you as a graffiti writer. How it all began and stuff like that. It gets real deep, doesn't it?
It does, man. I mean, it runs deep, as it does with a lot of writers, I think. You know what I mean? We're all from a place. I've always said there's a reason that someone's out, staying out late at night to walk along tracks. When you think about it, it's not a natural progression. Kids are playing video games or playing with little Citadel miniatures and that, you know what I mean? But we're out doing other things. And that's from, yeah, boom, like what, 12 years old and that, man. Like as early as I remember, maybe 10 or 11. Kind of coming back to this country, living on a council estate and seeing graff and seeing it about and thinking, rah, what's that or whatever? You know what I mean? Or getting a train to London or whatever, like a million people and you see it, you see the graff. And I remember just the area, you know what I mean? And meeting these older kids and you know, like you get in trouble when you're a kid. You go out to get a chase.
Mm.
Someone might break a window or something. But then there was this other thing which was like a tag and having a name and leaving it there. And then we'll talk about these tags because obviously we're little shits getting into what we're getting into. You can swear on here, right?
It's your podcast, brother. You can do a flash dance if you want. You can bring the flash mob in if you want. You know, it's yours. It's all you.
Get a little swear box going. No, so that was it. You know what I mean? And it's like I'm discovering that like you could have a name which you attach then to your little damage. You attach that to your reputation. So it's not just getting a chase anymore or someone telling a story. It's like they actually see the name there.
With the damage. So the damage is first, signature is the thing.
100%. You're like leaving your name on, you're labelling it. So, I mean, there was kids on my estate that did that and some of the elders and whatnot. And it was like, develop my own little tag or whatever it was. And then it's kind of like that sort of, you know, you tag up in your block. You'd have a tag in every stairwell. And that was like the thing, I got a tag in every stairwell. And then the estate next to you, you get tags all over that. And then that was a whole different game as well. So you get caught doing that on another estate. Some of the olders might give you a whipping or whatever the fuck was going to go down. But for me, that kind of evolved where it was like I would see graff more. And then I remember meeting this kid and it was like, boom, I must have been 9 or 10 years old.
9 or 10?
Yeah, mate. And
whereabouts was this? Is this how south?
This is like Mitcham, in between Mitcham and like Sutton. So it's kind of like Carshalton and Hackbridge. But that was where my estate was. There's another big estate next to us. So in between these two estates where I was and the other one, it was like an alley you'd cut through and a few little areas around there. And I remember meeting this kid around there. And it was crazy. Like kid ended up turning out to be 706, but it was like...
Mad.
We both kind of knew the game in different... You know, we were both into graff, which was one mad thing. And it was like... From graff to then, I don't know, sitting there in his house looking at aerosol art and like subway art. That's the first times I ever saw those was through him.
Was it a first priority that, because you know, like you say, there was these extra activities that were going on. 706, you know, he's you know, cited as, it wasn't just about the Graff, it was the whole culture that followed, was around it. Was Graff like a prominent thing out of the activities?
So early on like that, it was the same. He was the same. So he was like, you know, get a chase, break a window, the same mentality as any other naughty kid in the area. But then, you know, the Graff thing was like, it weren't so much the art, but it was like, wow, like, you know, I was so young. It's like, how would I ever do something that looked like that?
Yeah.
But then I was good at art and drawing anyway, and kind of into that. As a little kid, I'd draw cars and whatnot, you know, art class bullshit. But then learning how to do some of that stuff, so that was its own little world. But then it was like, I don't know if it's through him or whatever, or other kids on my estate, then I met other writers who lived a couple more estates away. And, like, they were on it. Like, this guy must have only been a year or two older than me.
Yeah.
He was doing pieces of, like, a Tweety Pie in the middle and shit. And oh, I would look at that and I was like, whoa, like...
Yeah.
You know, I knew how to draw a Tweety Pie on paper, but imagining it with a spray can, you know what I mean?
It's a whole nother world, ain't it?
Whole nother world. So it's like, meeting these lot again, they're, like, even badder kids almost, you know? But then me, Sevens, them lot, rolling together, whatever, whatever, and it's like... I started to pursue the Graff more than the kids on my estate. So it was more of a thing like they'd tag up on the estate, but they didn't really leave the estate. You know, that was their ends. They'd war with the other estates. They're just bored out of their heads. But my thing was like, you know, we'd get on trains and go on missions, and like, these boys must have gone to like Wimbledon College, and that was like, that was a big time Graff school. There was a lot of Graffers that went there without mentioning names.
Really?
Yeah, like loads of big names you'd probably know. And
wow.
Yeah, so you had like loads of like tooting boys and different ends that would go Wimbledon College. Obviously, I think everyone's mum or parents wanted to see them do good.
Yeah.
So they'd try and push to get kids in a good school, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Little did they know.
Yeah, exactly. Really, it's a school of fucking hard knocks going on. It's like they're learning all the shit they're not supposed to. And so these boys would be like, oh yeah, telling me mad stories. Oh yeah, these names and blah, blah, blah. So they were like, oh, it's about painting trains. Oh, yeah, Wimbledon Alley. Oh, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
so
Wimbledon like Alley, wow.
Doing my first dub, like, Wimbledon Alley, and I'm, like, shitting myself, bro. Like, you know what I mean? I ain't done shit like this before, and I'm thinking I'm going to get arrested, nicked. Like, yeah, I had some balls, but I weren't used to standing in one spot for 20 minutes.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Some damage like that.
Because the heat must have been rising in your head as you was doing it, thinking, oh, I'm taking a piss now.
Completely. It's exactly that. Or even them ones where it's like, right, when you see a train, you've got to duck down. Mm-hmm. Like, these boys are schooling me, even though they're a year older than me or something. And then, yeah, from there, it was like, oh, yeah, loads of little tricks. So you're supposed to steal your spray paint, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Again, like, I still remember raising my first paint. And I was like, just mad shook, bro. It's like going in with a carrier bag empty with a set of keys in there.
And that was my
method, bro, like an empty bag.
How does that become the norm? How does that, how do you put that in a context where that's okay?
What that is like diving straight into the deep end. Yeah, I'd stolen things before, but I'm 11 years old or something, and I'm going in a car shop, car repairs shop. What the hell is a mixed race kid doing in a car repair shop? Some chubby little boy, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, what? They ain't even looking at me. That's the irony of it. That's the irony. And I remember raising two tins of fucking Holtz. It's old wax spray, bro. And like, I've gone back to like Subway art and aerosol art, and I'm studying these big letters. And I made my first tag. I was writing Zest. But it must have been my second or third tag. You know them ones you're just changing every week.
I'm aware of those.
And I did this outline, bro, like fucking as tall as I am. And I've got one silver and one black, right?
Yeah. Proportions are in trouble.
I filled in the top of the Z and I ran out. my pal I was with, he wrote Zodiac. And he had like the same, he had like two tins of paint, bro. Like none of us finished the shit.
That's hilarious.
Mad. And that thing must have stayed there for mad years or whatever. But anyway, it was that and it just got me into it. I was just fevered out by it, bro. Mm-hmm. I was just like, yeah, this is this, that's right up, blah, blah, blah. And then in our area, like we used to see Foe up. So Foe was doing his thing. Bones, like Ditto. I think Ditto was Doob back then and
hold
shit.
Tight, Ditto, Bones, come on.
You know what I mean? And it was like seeing these guys do their thing, like on tracks. And then we met one guy, my mate Ribber. Shouts to Ribber. Ribber moved to Wales, but shout outs to him, bro. He was like, He was a guru, you know what I mean? And he knew, like, loads of these lot. And he knew, like, he'd rub shoulders with people.
So he kind of mentored the team?
He took us to a different level with it. And he was proper good at graph, bruv. His outlines, his colour schemes. He was sick. Like, I always looked up to him, yeah.
How deep did you get into the study of that?
It was, like, natural. Because just looking at these magazines, like Aerosol Art and his books, looking at what he did, looking at... So that was the other step. It's like going to, like, Wadden Hall of Fame. You know, like there was a Hall of Fame by Toys R Us on Purley Way, and you'd go in there and it was just FDC left, right, and center. So it was like Sir, Cons, all of them, man, like fucking Rough. Do you know that, right? R-O-U-G-H.
Yeah, Shine, Quest, of course.
Dyer, all them.
Tyre Rough, Shine, and Quest.
And you'd see these mad pieces, like Sir doing pieces with like a big Taz Devil animated coming out of it. He had a piece where he'd drawn like, it was like realistic wood. He'd spray painted it so the E was made out of wood. You know what I mean?
Oh, like no,
these slates of wood, bruv.
Yeah.
I remember we always just look at this shit. So we'd go down there, we'd be there with them Wimbledon College boys, whatever else. And like, we'd just be taking it in, trying to do it. Mm. So then, and even 706 would be there with us and whatnot. And it's like, I remember finding some of these pics online a few years ago, bruv.
Did ya?
Couldn't believe it. It's like 1996 graph.
Thank God like, you did. I've got to put the in the edit.
Yeah, 100, bruv. I'll send all send this to you, shit. Mate. I'll send all these to you.
Wow.
And it's like around the same time, yeah, Wadden Hall of Fame and that. And seeing, experiencing or discovering FDC, yeah, it was like, then I must have started high school around that time. And, like the first person I meet at high school, boom, he ends up being like into the same kind of shit. He knows about graffiti. He knows these SSL crews and of these names, you know what I mean? We're both young kids. And then from there, you know what I mean? That turned out to be the first person I spoke to in high school, and that's fucking turned out to be Avon. And it's like, me and him are then on a whole mission together. Mm. And then in my class, bruv, it's like another dude, which I was cool with, he turns out to be Gaps later on.
Ooh.
Another guy I was cool with turns out to be Moda later on.
I tell you what, Gaps really developed. I remember seeing him go from 0 to 100 in terms of style.
Yeah, well, he had a few tags again, like all of us did early in the days, you know what I mean? So there's probably things you've seen of him. I barely remember some of his old stuff, but he was definitely active and about, you know what I mean? So it was like...
I remember the G. The G was really significant. It just looked really like aggressive.
Yeah. You even see his stuff now on the gram and that. Like he still goes in. He still does his best.
Yeah, he still goes in. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, yeah. Respect to Gaps too, man. Yeah. Shout out to Gaps. R.I.P. Moda as well, man.
R.I.P. Moda for real.
But that was it. It's like at that high school, then it's pursuing that. Everyone's talking about graph. It's the cool thing. Even people that don't graph are like, I mean, I used to charge people to do because I was getting good at this shit by now. So I charge people to do them a graffiti alphabet. So, you know, you do the letters A to Z.
Hustle's real.
And then they do another one, yeah? You charge them even more to do the ones that are in dub letters or chunky letters.
Really?
Right? Yeah. So this will just be tag letters and you charge a man a couple pounds to do this shit.
You know what I mean? That's knick-knack money, you know? That's Chris
but
money.
Back then, it was like, yo.
Yeah. The real hustle.
Yeah, I can buy a drink after school now. You know what I mean? So, and even then, bruv, like getting into that drawing shit, that's, you know, a couple of pound at school, you go halves on a £7.50 draw when you go back to your estate or whatever. So it's like that whole world, I started to pursue it, bruv. I was just like ingrained in it, yeah, you know what I mean? It was like crazy. I don't know who it was. I think it was one of my boys, like my boy Lyne, I think. Shout out to Lyne. And don't know how we came across him. I don't remember the story, but we basically met this writer, Dome. Like, you know, Dome. And, he was like older as well, and he was just mad active, and he knew everything, bruv. He knew mad blueprints to this shit. And then, yeah, we just started hanging out together and just illing with it, bruv. Like, not even going to school anymore, going out, like, missions to.
So, how old you been then?
13-ish.
13.
12, 13.
Well, so from 9 to 13, it was just like you were in constant development.
From nine years old, graphing on the estate, to then discovering FDC, all this shit happened in about 3-4 years, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And then we're not going to school and we're going on mad missions, going off to fucking Tunbridge Wells and shit and just raising, like all day, just getting paint. And in them times, like you don't have money or you've got a little bit of lunch money or something that you're supposed to spend at school. So then you start raising sandwiches, raising dairy lees, raising all these other little bits, yeah? And then it's like, do you know what I mean? You might go in a shop and think, oh, I like that hoodie or whatever it might be. And then you're raising that and that shit would just escalate.
Perpetuate and get...
Yeah. It got bigger and bigger, like doing shit like that, you know what I mean?
No, but it wasn't a thing. once you got to that stage, it was like, well, I need them shoes. I'm going to just grab them.
Yeah, you were so used to getting paint. Yeah. You're so used to getting baited, getting chased and everything else that, yeah, it was like nothing by then. Yeah, it's a natural thing. It's like, I'm taking that. So that was a standard, like, procedure. And then it was like, you know, like, branching out almost from the kids of my estate, because it's like, yeah, these, some of these guys were like nutters and shit. They were older as well. Like, I was the youngest person probably on my estate knocking about. But, you know, they didn't really leave their estate. They didn't really experience other things outside it. They didn't really, they weren't on the graph. They weren't, some of them, they weren't even on the stealing. They'd have a fight with you. They'll smash up a geezer, but they won't, do you know what I mean? That's, they won't go and do this other shit because they're like, I might get nicked for that.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So there's a big difference. It's like, so that was my whole thing. It was almost like, and don't get me wrong, like, this might all sound a bit glorified or whatever, but even on my estate, it was a very, like, it was an all-white estate, bruv. So it's like that whole kind of area. I was the only, like, mixed-race kid on the estate for, like, years. So, you know, if I'd had beef and, you know, if you have fights with your mates or whatever when you're a kid, it's like the first thing that would happen when you have a fight with your mate or so-called mate, it's like, you black cunt. And it was like, do you know what I mean? It's like, fucking hell, like, that hit me.
Of course.
Like, these are supposed to be my peoples who I grew up with and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it's like me, these Wimbledon college boys and that, and even with Dome and that around, it's like I branched well out from hanging around my estate and that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I started to see it like I've got more love through the graph world. People saw my dub or saw what I was doing and you know, there was a bit of respect and a bit of camaraderie between us.
Yeah, like you felt like you'd belonging. There was belonging, like you were welcomed a lot more than perhaps even some of your closest friends at the
100%, 100%. So it was like that made it like the thing, like this is it, this is the thing to pursue. And obviously troubled teen years and shit. So that was just every day going out, raising, doing painting, whatever.
What was your family life like?
I don't know, man. It's like my dad was a single dad, innit? So basically, like he was always at work. I think them times my sister might have just been about to go uni or just busy with her own shit. My dad would leave the house at 7 a.m, come back at 7 or 8 at night. So a lot of times he wouldn't even know that I bunked off until a letter came from the fucking school, you know, them type of things.
Yeah.
So it's like my dad was, yeah, trying to give me the best life he could and whatever.
We've all been there, we know this.
You know what I mean? But it was like, I'm doing other things, I'm going off the rails on my own, like on my own trajectory sort of thing. So I think after, yeah, around them times, it's like you do some more dubs, so you're going further. You start going Junction to do dubs, start doing Ballam. Oh, you want to hit Ballam box, Mitchum box, all these boxes, you know, these fucking...
Yeah, proper.
And then
wow.
It's like, oh, yeah, Battersea layup, boom, first train, oh, second train. Well, oh, man, I could tell you mad train stories, bro. It's like...
Shall we indulge? Come on. Yeah.
Epsom Downs, bro, where that shit used to terminate. So that's the end of the line, right?
Yeah.
And it's the first time I did a train, and this is like early, first times meeting Dome type thing. And like you get off this thing, you go round, boom, you basically climb over this fence. So where the train's terminating for about 10, 15 minutes, you'd have time to do a dub, get an outline on it.
Yeah.
And bro, I was like so small, like I couldn't reach the tops of the bottoms of the windows. So I'm standing on the concrete next to this train.
Oh my God.
And I'm so little, and it's like, I remember like even Seven's doing it with us, and he's like, having to tag the wheels and the brakes and the tires, bruv, because no one's reaching the shit. We're kids, tiny little kids sort of thing. But we'd run round. So we'd finish the dubs if you're quick enough and you'd run back round, get on the same train you just dubbed, get that train into Sutton, jump off, stand back with your little disposable cameras and get snaps of your things, just in case you didn't see that train again. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So again, this is being talked to me by older graphers where it's all about the picture, it's all about the photo collection and this and that.
And by the way, don't try this at home.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Come on.
Go to the graph court. Buy your paint like a modern writer. Yeah? ain't to glorify nothing, you know what I mean? It's like, but these were like foundation years for me.
It must have been well scary if you was the size of that train up against you.
It was a thrill. It was a buzz. Hearing that train buzzing, all these sounds, it's fucking dark. You know, it's not that many years before that where you're scared of the dark as a little kid, you know? And now you're on the fucking tracks. You know it's dangerous. But I think there's always been a little bit of an adrenaline junkie in me where I'm like, yeah, up for it. Let's do it. Yeah. That's a rush. That's a buzz. It's like getting chased or doing anything. So, and yeah, that progressed. So we're doing bigger tracks as the years went on. Battersea layup. I remember like then there's like younger kids at school who must have joined, and it's like the year below. Then I'm chatting to these other kids, and it's like shouts to Eitel, shouts to Bowser.
Eitel, jeez. Yo.
And then these men are like, yeah, yeah. And it's like me, Eitel, Bowser, whatever, whatever, Avon. Mm-hmm. And we're going out Battersea Layer after school, arranging where we're going to meet, what we're going to bullshit our parents or whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
We're going out doing these fucking trains and shit. And it's like, yeah, that was ill. That was a rush to me. But at the time, I'm not even thinking about it.
You're
I'm
not
like,
seeing it like
I'm
that.
I'm like, I need to do another one tomorrow. I need to do this again. Like, this is sick. Let's do Sellhurst next. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. So it's like, yeah, just in hot pursuit of like, and realizing at that time it started to grow where there was a little bit of a fame aspect to it.
Sellhurst is bonkers, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's, it's a big yard. Yeah.
It's just, I mean, I remember going through that, you know, it's just outside of Croydon, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you got the Norwood Junction side, you got the Sellhurst side, and then it just
seems like a lot going on, bro. It's a lot going on.
Yeah, there was sides of the yard you wouldn't touch. Well, we wouldn't anyway. We didn't know it. So right. Then there was a side we would touch where a couple of my mates, they lived like in Norwood. So you could jump over, you could get to this layup, dub the shit out of it. If anything came on top, you're over the fence, you're crossing 2-3 roads and then you're out basically, you're gone. So we knew a whole little rat hole.
Right.
So like, I mean, at one point, this is like mad years later, but...
Yeah, we're talking like early 90s now, right? We're talking back
97-ish.
Right, there we go. Mid-90s, there we
go. Yeah, man. Like, years later, bruv, we would just go and sleep in there, bruv, like where the slam doors are. We'd go raving. This is mad years. I'm fast forwarding. I'm going to be dotting in and out of this story.
This is freaking mad.
We'd go raving in Croydon and like have nowhere to go after. So we'd climb the fence and just open a slam door, sleep in the first class.
Stop it.
Yeah, we just sleep in there. Bruv, certain times, and me being a grapher, I'm like, I want to get up. I want to get up still. So I'm getting rocks and I'm tagging in the sides of the trains with rocks, bruv, to try and keep my name out there, to try and keep things moving. I'd get back in the train and go sleep with like, yeah. But that's fast forwarding. That's me dotting around. That's bouncing about at the moment. But yeah, around them times, like I say, Battersea Layup, all that type of stuff, we'd all go out together and we'd like start studying tube maps and that and sort of find out where yards were.
Hmm.
So like, I don't know, fucking the ones in Essex and shit like Haynault and shit like that, you'd be like, Haynault's the other side or whatever, but Woodford, for example, bruv. We must have, like, discovered that, found a way in, whatnot. This is on our own, because we'd hear these stories. We'd hear about these big crews, what they did, bolt cutters. You'd learn all the little tricks.
Yeah.
But that's how much we just wanted to be out there, bruv. We'd, like, finish school and then... Or we'd bunk off and go and look around, walking miles around tracks and trying to look for ways to get into these yards. You know what I mean?
And nothing... There was never an altercation, like, on a level of... Because, you know, there's one thing being a graph writer and... This is my understanding, and being prevalent and like, you know, going the distance, knowing what to do, tactics and stuff. But when you're so young, you're a kid, you know, what are you doing out at that time of night? There wasn't any kind of questioning or anything
like that?
Yeah,
I mean, that's one thing that would come on top. And certain times, I mean,
because of your age,
I was always big for my age, but some of the other writers say they're smaller than you, like. You wouldn't even want to walk with them. You wouldn't want to be seen with them because you get baited and you get stopped. Because it's like you're saying, if police see you, they're gonna go, "What's he doing out at this time of night? Whatever the fuck." So, yeah, that would happen. But you know what I mean? It was kind of the thing of just trying to duck under the radar and do what you're doing. I mean, a lot of these things we'd do on an early because we couldn't be out a certain time of night.
Right.
So we go on an early and like you're doing a train, but you're ducking like when other trains come past you, sort of thing. So it's kind of like. But yeah, like around that era, then things would get more serious, bruv, because you'd steal your paint, you might steal the odd hoodie here and there, but then you're coming of age a bit more. There's girls, there's other shit, there's the jungle was the thing, bruv. Cool FM, listening to all of that all the time and whatnot. It's like, and then you're hearing these ads for these raves, telepathy, man, and fucking roast all that shit. Like,
yeah, love it.
And then we're just dreaming of it. We're like, oh man, like, I want to go to this rave.
Want to be there,
And I remember, like, I don't know, like a couple times getting into my first rave. I can't remember where it was. No, it was in Battersea. Right by the power station and that. Can't remember what they used to call it. Stick it in the comments if you lot remember that.
Yeah, but come on.
Like, going there, bruv, and just seeing people and how they was dressed, bruv, and they had, like, these, like, bright clothes with mad graphics and lit up shit. People are dressed to the fucking nines. I remember even the hat style, like what you got now, the hat flicked up. That was a ting, bruv.
You see what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean?
Kels was there, bro.
Come on.
Don't doubt that. But seeing that, bruv, it was like, what is that? What is that? I remember talking to Avon. He was like, I don't think he was raving with me. He was like, yeah, that's Versace. That's Moschino.
Oh, shit.
And it was like, raw. Like, and this was like the fucking beginning of the Pattern Mosh and Crazy Mosh era and shit. It was like wanting to emulate that.
Big up Skibber.
Big up Skibber. Big up Debt. I remember meeting Shabba, bro.
Yeah. They all adopted that look.
That was ill.
Hard.
And that was the whole Cool FM thing. You lock in on a Sunday. Yeah. We'd all be taping it, lending the tapes to each other. Just sick, bruv. That whole thing hit me in a different way, like drum and bass and the drum and bass culture.
It felt dangerous. Oh, shit felt dangerous, like you were on the crest with something not only very, very new, but very naughty.
It was that. And you were younger than everybody there,
you
know? And it's like, for me and my mate Lion, we were just like, we were both kind of mad into it, kind of obsessed by that whole thing, the music, the clothing, the lifestyles. And then it's like, you discover more and more shit. The olders know things.
Yeah, so it's
like, oh, yeah, you buy it in Probito. You go up there and
what's Probito? For the Southern London crew.
So Probito was a clothing store that was up like Bond Street. I think they had three stores dotted around the area. Shout out to Wavy Garms, man. He would tell you all about Probito.
Oh, tight, Wavy Garms.
And bruv, you'd go in there and it's just everything's Pattern Mosh or the loud colours, like the bright blues, the fucking lime green jean jacket and matching jeans, and you get the matching hat, everything going on.
This never works out too well with graffiti, though.
Well, so this was the thing, bruv. Like, we then became two worlds, bruv, because we wanted to be up and do what we're doing. Like, a funny story I was talking to 706 about the other day. Like, me and my mate Lions, we basically got this idea. We were like, we want these fucking clothes. Mm. We want to emulate this shit. We saw the people in the clubs. They'd have champagne. They'd be dressed in $1,000 outfits.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're like, how do I fucking do this? So we started pursuing heavier crimes, bruv, like stealing items to try and cash in, doing other shit to get money, basically, so we could go and buy this shit.
So what were you stealing?
Bruv, whatever it might fucking be, like...
Tech equipment?
Not so much. That you'd steal that, but it's harder to get hold of. So you'd do shit like, I don't know, camera films and shit. You'd steal hundreds of fucking camera films. Uh-huh. And you'd cash these things in or whatever it might be. And then you go and do things. And even then, you might get 50 quid for your birthday. You tuck that away, whatever it is. And you stack it up and you go buy yourself a pair of fucking Moschinos. But then, the same thing. Like, people would fuck themselves up, bro. Like, people would have this nice shit on... And then suddenly you end up on a random mission. Yeah. You go fucking painting. Your wax oil goes all over your fucking moss jacket. You're fucked. You're
not
done.
The one.
You have to pretend it's part of the pattern.
Yeah.
So a few other people I knew, it was like we started pursuing even heavier crimes because it's like you can't get that money fast enough. So then we started like flicking tills and shit. They used to call it flicking tills.
What's that?
It's like randomly, bruv. One day me and my mate are in Croydon. This guy comes up to us. He's like, yo, you man want to make some money? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yo, look how much money I made today. I've been flicking tills. Bro, he pulled out, I'm not even joking, probably about $2,000 in cash. I've never seen a kid with that sort of money in my life, bruv. And we're like, what? How did you do that? And he's like, easy. You go to Marks and Spencer. You go buy something, blah, 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 blah. When they open the till, just fucking dive in there, bruv. Grab the fucking cash, both hands. The guy won't do nothing. Guy won't do nothing behind the till, blah, 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 blah. And we're like, yeah, we don't want to do that. We didn't trust them. We're fucking aware of shit. Mm. But we went back and started doing it in our own fucking little flex. So we start flying tills. And then we're getting mad money. And it's like, bro, you know the risk of how much fucking prison time that was? That we're fucking taking a risk of just to get a pair of fucking Pattern Mosh, just to get a pair of trousers.
What's the time in jail for something like that, you reckon?
Mate, you'd get, I don't know, 5 years, maybe more, bruv. It's like aggravated robbery and shit, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not cool.
Don't try this at home.
Do not try this at home. But that's the thing, bruv. Like, I look back on it and I think, how desperate was I for cash? How desperate was I to emulate this? And it goes back to, like, childhood, bruv, where you grow up in a certain way. You know, I used to wash my clothes in a sink, bruv, when I was, like... Even them ages, like, between 9 and 12, bruv, and, like we didn't even have a washing machine type thing. So certain things or a pair of trainers, it wouldn't happen.
That's so real that you say that. And this is, again, just highlights the reason why there was a time and a place for us to talk on a podcast, because I know the ins and outs of this is pretty deep. And for you to just candidly say that, enough respect.
No.
That shit, I know that ain't easy.
Sometimes you've got to be real with things and realistic. And it's like, yeah, I look back at it. So I probably had some sort of guardian angel, bruv. Probably my mother. Me and my sister say the same thing. My mother passed away when I was at a very young age. That's how I ended up with, like, a single father. But it's like, when I'm doing all these mad things, maybe I did have some fucking angel above me, some guardian that was like rescuing me out of these situations and keeping me alive and keeping me free, type of thing.
What's your sister think? What's the consensus? Like, of the things that you were
by the Machino and this age, she was like off at uni and pursuing life. So she was good and a student. Shout out to my sister, yo.
Yeah.
But so she didn't really know the ins and outs, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, yeah, she didn't really know. And then my dad's at work all day and whatever.
Is this going to be revelationary to the family right now that this has even been conversated?
Nah, she knows all about this now. When it went down the line, I started getting nicked for stupid crimes. Like, nothing like the crazy shit, but getting nicked for shit like having weed on you, or getting nicked for stealing paint, or getting nicked for whatever it might be, or getting nicked for graph even.
It's funny that becomes a thing, because the silly petty stuff where you think, oh, it's not a big thing in the criminal mind, it's like, for you, it's minor compared to the things you used to, but that's what you get caught for, isn't it?
Yeah. It's crazy, because it's probably like you're being sloppy with stealing paint and sloppy with the petty crimes. Or getting caught with photos on you with a train on it, or whatever the fuck it is.
Becomes so normal.
Yeah, like, you're careful with your big crimes, but then these little things are getting you caught up. And it was like, my dad was bailing me out, bruv. Like, I don't know, I remember getting nicked like 4 times in a week before and shit like that. So my dad's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on, type thing. But he'd seen it. Like, my dad was a teacher, bruv, in Bermondsey. So in that kind of area, he'd seen kids slip completely off the rails and go somewhere else with their life.
Big up Bermondsey crew. That was a different place back then.
Shouts to Bandit Country. Shouts to Burmo. Shouts to man like Dame. Yo.
Yo, I'll shout to Dame, man.
But that's even close to that in the story. Oi, you know, poignant moment there, bruv. Like, so around them times, like, I remember doing, like, As the Wall at Junction. And it's me lying. And then you'd have a couple of kids from the estate that would, like, come out, even the olders. And they'd, like, they'd keep a lookout for you, yeah? And they're getting thrilled. Like, they're getting the buzz of their life. But we've done this fucking 20 times by now, right? But they're, like, they just want to be around it, yeah, to see it. Or to say it. It's like a rite of passage for them, right? I've done that. You know what I mean? Even though these were bigger mans that would have knocked us all out, yeah? But they're with us. I mean, we feel safe for them, bro. We're like, yo, anything flies off. Watch what my homie does. Yeah. So then we're painting, and we must have met 7-Up somewhere down the line, bruv. Shouts to 7-Up.
Yeah,
OG.
Wow,
shouts
now
to
that's...
And we're painting this As the Wall, and then must have just finished walking out, and there's this guy coming towards us, bruv, some kid. And I'm like, see the shadows, light skin you. And I'm like, he's like, yo, you look writers, you look just painting. And I knew he was like probably our age and a writer, and I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I write Dame. Blah, 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 blah. It was
mad.
Like, bruv, mad things, because I'm putting these stories in because it's like people that I met that became part of my life that are still a part of my life today, like your Dames, your Avons, like, you know what I mean? Like, these people that you come across like that in Law of Attraction in passing. So if it weren't for that night, I might have never even seen this dude, you know what I mean? Half of what I'm even going to tell you next might have never even happened if I never met him, type of thing. But yeah, like, meeting Dame, then again, massive pivotal moment where the graph levels went up even further. I stopped fucking around with tills and shit. I was like, why am I going to a fucking rave? You know what I mean? Why am I even doing that? Yeah, and I knew, I wanted my freedom, bro. I knew, like, and I'd seen people start going to jail. Amongst these times, amongst the graph times as well, bro, it was like, the new thing on my estate was to burgle stores, right?
So you were seeing
to burgle till floats. I was going out on these missions, bro. So I've got school in the morning, but I'm going to fucking wherever. I don't even want to mention the spots. But you're going into, like, big chain stores, breaking in at night, and then screwdriving open the tills, and you're taking the till floats. So some of them might have £90, £100, but if there's 6 tills, 8 tills or whatever...
Do the math.
Yeah, and it was like, I don't know, what used to be like a 9-minute or 12-minute fucking delay on this alarm system, so staff could come in the store and have time to disable the alarm and shit. So you'd have time to do quite a lot of business in there, yeah?
Whoa.
So again, this is where we were getting money from to kind of, like, fund... the raving and fun, that sort of lifestyle.
People were getting done. People were getting
bruv, I was on the neighbouring estate and CID came along, and the neighbouring estate were even harder on it. They were crazy. And shouts to any of you men that are listening to this from either estate, yeah, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it was you lot I was looking up to. And yeah, CID came one day, bruv, and I never seen feds like this in my life, bruv. They got like hoodies on, they got like Adidas trainers, and they're like, everyone line up there on the wall, boom. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And it was just, I was shook, bro, because I was young.
I
was 12. I was still a fucking virgin, bro. And I was like,
that's mad.
Yeah, I'm like, nah, nah, nah. So to me, I was like, all right, I don't want anything to do with this shit no more. You know what I mean? Yeah, I've earned my money. I've got my couple little Versace jackets, couple little Moss jeans. I've got my cats and dogs. I've got something I can wear raving. I did something, right? So I was like, yeah, out of that. So my whole thing was like, went into the graph. So around them times, meeting Dame, and he was like bang on graph, and he knew other people. So this was my bridge into the whole world of like.
Kind of highlights my point of you know, graph saves an element of your own life when it comes to direction. You channel shit, don't you?
Well, this is it. It's like the rush out of graph, bruv, and the rush out of doing tracks and people recognizing you and repeating stories of what you did. That was a bigger rush than wearing fancy clothes to a rave and talking to some girls.
Yeah, and going...
It was a much bigger rush, bruv, like graph, and it was becoming somebody in a neighbourhood that's full of nobodies.
Oh!
When we was kids, belonging felt good, but having respect, shit, that felt even better, man.
Hey, man.
That's that Tupac skit. Anyone who knows that Tupac skit, Me Against the World, that's the real shit.
Come on, if you know, you know.
Having respect felt even better, bro. So it was like, yeah, I pursued that world and I was with Dame. That was it. Me and him are Cody's. Bang. Got Avon. Mad. Avon's in the game with him. All this shit. We're doing our things. It's like I start meeting other people all through Dame. I'm meeting like Char, meeting Cons. Well, I'd met Cons and that, Cos, a few other people before that, but I started meeting much bigger writers, bruv. Buddha, Corsa, Pies, all these people, Esno, yeah? Like, shouts to all them, man.
Gang-a-langa,
yeah?
Ding-dong.
And it was like, whole different world, because these writers I've looked up to all these years, seen about, and I'm like, sort of meeting them, speaking of about, shouts to about. Dame introduced me to about as well, bruv. And it's like, yeah, that was a whole different world, and it was like, raising, like, and then the brew raising came, bruv. So it's like, again, you're starting to hippie out, bruv, at this point, yeah? Because you're just
it's getting mellow.
You go from doing these raves and doing these drugs and shit. Now you're like just painting and smoking weed and stealing beer and stealing lunches and having a laugh, bruv. And it was sick, bruv. It was ill. It was like a whole little family, a whole nother little world of people.
Up and, against like some of the other criminal activity, this seems. Just from the description, reasonably tame. Mm,
definitely. It's all like a school, isn't it? Like each one teach one or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's like
But there's still that element of heavy, heavy, the burden of criminality.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You would do mad shit. Like so, you know, you might be brew raising. You might be out just to steal some beers, and a shopkeeper says the wrong thing. You don't know who you're with that day, and then someone smashes up the shopkeeper, right? Then suddenly it's a GBH charge and you're all fucking running away and trying to get the fuck out of the area.
Yeah, yeah.
Suddenly there's a fucking helicopter. It's like, I remember the first time I fucking went to Worcester Park and it was like, through certain people, I don't even want to mention no names here, but whoever was there that day, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, the geezer I went to Worcester Park with went there because another writer that we knew had beef with some geezer. So this guy goes down there, we all go down there.
Yeah.
And, like, he fucking smashes up one guy. It's all kicking off. It's all crazy. I saw this one kid, like, bruv, and I'm not condoning this to one fucking moment, but, bruv, I saw some violent shit going on. I don't even want to say what happened, but, again, it's like we're jumping out of one thing and then we're on tracks and then the guy's like, oh, yeah, there's another guy that's been pissing me off. And then we walk up the tracks to this other fucking stop. This is broad daylight. This is in the summer.
Yeah.
This is like beginning of summer 98, bruv, which was a mad pivotal year as well, yeah. And it's like, then we go to this other geezer's house, and it's like, they're about to fucking kick off. It's like a massive geezer and a massive geezer. And it's like, yeah, that didn't happen, but you're seeing things and you're like learning behaviors, bruv, because you're like, all right, no one ain't fucking talking to me like that again. You learn how to intimidate people. You learn how to deal with people. So it was like...
Things escalate.
You get
quickly.
A different mentality. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, like from my estate and having to fight from when I was 10, 11 years old, fighting people and whatnot, there's always been that element. So you know, I'd done things before that, like jacked up the raves and blah, 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 bullshit like that. Again, not condoning or giving it all to whatever, but it's like, you learn that shit. It's like, you get shit on when you're fucking young, and then you might have had a hard life or whatever it is. Mm. You might have lived in a bit of poverty. So then you start shitting on other people because no one else ain't telling you right.
Yeah.
That's why you need the right mentors. That's why you need the right people around you. It's like, yeah, my dad tried to do the best for me, but he weren't around in that way that he probably wanted to be around.
And Michael Jordan, Mike Tyson, them like just too far away.
Yeah. Oh, mate, that's like, that was nothing to us. You know what I mean? It's like, if I wanted to be like anyone, I wanted to be like Depp. I wanted to be like Shabba on the fucking mic. Or I wanted to be like my man who just robbed fucking $5,000 and now he's pulled up in a fucking car.
Yeah, yeah.
That was ill to me. That was the shit. So it's like, you'd hear all these gangster stories and shit. So it's like, you know, not long after that, it's like, you stop going to school altogether, bruv, because you ain't got time for that. It's like, you know, I'd been out of school probably a good year from that, for like 98 times.
Mm.
Weren't near a school. No one I knew was near a school. But yeah, it's like that day going down there and all that violence happening and whatever, it was like there was an instant respect and then there was an understanding from these other kids who did similar shit or similar backgrounds, similar upbringings. Mm. And then you meet another criminal fraternity, another whole world of people that do some other shit. And then, you know, like even then meeting some of these other crews like down there, like WK Boys and shit,
Hold tight,
Mr.
WK.
44, Lapa, all people like that. And it was like, like, you know, these were like fucking professional shoplifters, bruv. So it was like going out with them was mad because I've always been on a money pursuit. But when I'm like, oh, this is easy money, like you raising video games. Okay. And to a fucking real organized level of raising video games.
Wow.
I remember drinking a super tea once, bruv. I went in Electronics Boutique. I kneel on the side of the counter. I got an N64 in the box off the top of the fucking thing. Took it down. These lot couldn't believe it, bruv. And with a couple of WK boys, I just walk around the back of the rack, another one of them just took it, walks out of it. And they're like, again, it was that respect and belonging because they're like, yo, you got fucking balls, you're sick. There was a level of that in Graf where it was all about ballsiness and it was all about people repeating the story. It wasn't only about repeating the story. We wanted that money to smoke weed or whatever the fuck we're going to do.
But the endorphin hit of the peer pressure slowly lifting, the fact that you got
buzzing all of that.
Respect.
Bro, a massive buzz in that. And then people in the area would mention your name or then you do a bit of Graf in the area or whatever it is. So now I spent a long time in Kingston and around them ends, like a good few years, like hanging out with these boys and whatnot. Shouts to Leon's, man. But yeah, like, you know, shouts to Track and Bosk as well, mate. Fucking hell.
Hold tight, Bosk, man.
Hold tight, Tandy. Yeah. Shout to Tandy's.
Hold tight.
Hey, mate. Oh, bro. But yeah. It was like mad like that. But then them times, it's like, so I remember being around New Malden and that, yeah, and there was the cut. You remember the cut, that legal alley?
Bro, this whole area, like for those of you outside of London, outside the UK, you know, this was a real like nucleus place. I remember going down, I've said it a couple of times to people who were in the south, southwest area, it was its own ecosystem, bro.
It felt close-knit. It felt like, even though we're miles apart, areas like Croydon and Clapham and fucking Brixton and New Malden even though we're miles apart, everyone started to know everyone. Everyone heard of everyone. Or everyone's like, someone had hung around of him who hung around of him.
Yeah.
So while there was loads of beefs and shit happening, it was like there was always someone who linked to somebody else. You know what I mean? It was like, so I'd known 706 obviously all these years, but not really knocked about of him too tough. I used to bump into him now and again here and there, yeah? And I'm in the alley one day in New Malden. I don't remember who I was with. And there's this guy, Baso, from Morden.
Yeah.
And Baso turns up and he's with this other guy. I'm like, yo, Baso, I knew Baso through 706. So again, I'd be dipping in and out of ends, bruv. Like, so Croydon, because obviously through Idle and Bowser and that, through Idle, I met Sicko. So this is like early years of high school, whatever, second year of high school.
Madness, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they're my homies. Then I've got Dame's my homie. Then I've got all WK, that's my homies. And then at this time, 706 is starting his own little thing, WZ, bruv. And they're all my homies.
Some madness.
But I didn't really know a lot about that at the time, yeah. But he was a graffer. He was out. I'd see his tags. I knew letters, his cousin. We'd be out there, bruv. So we'd bump into each other, we'd cross paths. And anyway, Baso's in this alley in the cut, boom. And he's with this guy. And then I got paint on me. And we get chatting. And then the guy's like, oh yeah. Baso's like, bruv, you want to swap some paint with us, yeah? He goes, I'll give you as much, he goes, and it's going to sound weird, but I'll give you as much Chinese food as you want, yeah? Because I've got a menu here. order anything you want off this menu, yeah? Just give us a few bits of paint.
What?
And I was like, what the fuck kind of scam is this? Like, I've never seen this shit in my life, yeah? I've been about at this point, yeah?
You can't write this. Go on.
About 98 or something, yeah? And the geezer, yeah, they had some fucking dodgy card or some shit or whatever, yeah? I gave him the paint, yeah? And they fucking, lo and behold, we're there eating chow mein and fried rice and fucking curry
anything
and everything.
You wanted.
In the fucking alley, loads of plastic tubs. And, bruv, I've always loved my food. I've always been a chubby fucker, yeah? And I'm like, didn't want to put it down, bruv. I'm eating till I'm like...
dead. Because you know that you want your value's worth in paint.
Yeah, definitely. Whatever. It was just too good to throw away, yeah? But the geezer ended up being Baff, bruv. That was a pivotal moment. That was Baff that ordered the food. That was Baff that wanted the paint. It wasn't really Baso. Again, Baso was like an older.
Yeah.
So then I meet Baff, and then there's that real relationship. And then boom, and I'm like, you know, 706, you know, I think it was Allies at the time or whatever, but boom. That link came about.
Yo, you guys do it differently, man.
Do you know what I mean? It was different, brother. I'd go north. Yeah, I didn't really know people in north and whatnot, but sometimes I'd be with certain bigger writers and we'd go there and they knew a lot of bigger writers, but it was like, it was a different thing. But you kind of know your surroundings. You know where you're getting one train to another when you're in south. North say the same about south. We don't like going up north. A lot of them don't like coming down south, yeah? Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. You stay where you're familiar kind of thing, but... at the same time, I'd graph up north, bro. I'd go on.
I wanted to come to this because how at that time, because it seems like there was a lot of interactivity going on. How often were you painting,
bro? It would go through motions. So like 97 times, like late 97, the painting started to die down because it was crime, like money, pursuit. And like I say, bro, it's like when all that CID shit and that happened, whatnot. Yeah. And then meeting Dame like end of 97, early 98, that was then a different, they didn't do them type of crimes.
Different kind of slant on
they
things.
Get their money in a much easier fashion. Yeah. So you could still be paid. Yeah, you're not going to get thousands of pounds, but you could still make a couple of hundred quid a day and dot about and dress good and steal shit and whatnot. So you learnt new tricks. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, them times like, 98, the painting. So when me and Dame met, we started going sick. So it was like, I think the fucking, again, like the music of the era, it was like that Nori album was out with a blue cover.
Woo!
N-O-R-E, Nori.
Yeah.
Stand for niggas on the run, eating. Bro, that was like my theme song, brother. And I was like, you know what I mean? I was seeing me and Dame as like CNN, like we're Capone and Nori, brother. We're on some next shit.
I love that.
And that ain't even to big ourselves up. Yeah, I'm just making a like parallel, right? So I'm like, we need to smash the graph. We used to sit in his house, brother, with like Pantones. And magic markers and shit, yeah, just outlining, doing pieces, all this shit. He had like these black books, people like fucking Band and mad people like FLS and Blink and people like that. All
big
in
up
these
Band,
black books.
Hold on, all these guys, man.
Shouts to Band, shout outs to Blink, shout outs to all FLS, shout outs to Nevs, man like Never.
Come on.
Shout outs to all these, man, shout outs to Stay.
This shit's my, my childhood, man.
It was ill, bro, and it was like... You know, and he's showing me a lot of things. I ain't even afraid to say that shit, bro. It's like, you know, he's teaching me a different route.
Yeah.
And me and him just start going out every night, bro. Like, just battering Junction, battering other places, just doing big pieces, going out mad late, taking our sweet time doing pieces. Like, some of these photos still exist now online and shit.
I remember Vids, and just going back to the childhood recesses, I remember Vids so well. And I always remember big. You always went big.
Yeah, bruv. It was always big. It was always a lot of colours. Again, it was that thing of seeing FDC at those early ages
in
Modern Hall of Fame and seeing Cons. Like, that was my favourite writer.
Cons killed it.
Even meeting that guy, that was like a whole different thing for me. So we're battering it. Summer of 98, we're going out doing our thing. And then, like, start hanging around with Char a bit more. Then we hang around with Cons. And then Cons and Char were battering it together. There was almost a small parallel.
Really?
Like, these two were like... bigger than us, they wouldn't even run around with us painting the shit, but we'd go out and hang out and have beers and do shit, you know.
And Sir was around that time as well.
Sir was like, and Jay. I think, already like doing his big next shit, you know what I mean? Was like when I was younger, like 96, 97, that's when you'd see like track sides and shit like that. Like, I might be paraphrasing here, I might have this completely wrong. Apologies, Sir, if I have, but. Yeah, mate, like at that time, summer 98 ish, then we start knocking about with Cons and Char. And I remember, like, one night, like, one of the first times sort of meeting them, and they were like, oh, yeah, like, there must have been some geezer, he had a load of fucking speed, and, like, must have took this fucking speed off him. And then we go out on a mission, me, Cons, Damon, Char, And we're just fucking doing this fucking speed all night, bruv, doing this bass.
Oh, God, that's
we meet
the worst
some girls,
life.
Bruv. It's the worst drug ever, yeah. We meet some girls. We end up going back to their house and we're just doing this shit. Then in the morning, he's like, you want to go painting? Blah, blah, blah. We went to fucking Patmore, where there was a legal graph court. You could see it from the train when you're going from like Queenstown Road to Vauxhall. You'd look down and there's all these pillars for the bridge.
Right,
and
right.
There'd be all pieces there. And we went there and it's like, in my head, like I'm already high from the night before, but I can't believe I'm painting with Cons and Char, bruv, you know, like yeah, people yeah, I looked yeah. up to all my life.
Hold tight, Char, Cons, Char, come on, man.
So again, it's like, you know, nice. That leaned me out of like, why am I, you know, I didn't even, at that point, even less wanted to be in a rave, listen to drum and bass. I didn't even listen to drum and bass no more then. It was like Wu-Tang and fucking Mobb Deep, Big Punisher. Yeah, like, yeah. It was a whole different world, brother, a whole different mood. Like listening to Westwood
Soundtrack
on Friday
to what you
Saturday.
Were doing. Oh, come on.
Completely, brother, and getting all them new
tunes. If you know the late nighter on Westwood, that for me used to have
bruv,
the UK stuff as well. That
pausing the cassette tape, bruv, yeah. And then the shit coming back on. Like yeah, I remember the first tape I made from Westwood, bruv. It had like Hard Knock Life, Smith and Wesson, all
bro,
these crazy fucking
what's
tunes.
What's that?
Boom,
boom, boom.
It was boom. After that. Was that fucking? Oh, I can't remember the tune, bruv. But yeah, bruv, like ill era, like a sick era, and then you know. Then you're talking to them about tunes. Like you'd be talking to Charles, a mad hip hop head.
Yeah, mad hip hop head. Yeah.
So he would have all this shit. He was like the king. Yeah. Get that CD. Like, and then I remember going out, bruv, like trying to steal every Wu-Tang CD. I wanted the whole collection.
Yeah, that's a.
So you get the Wu
that's
CD.
That's a good couple of weeks of stealing a Wu-Tang.
You know them ones. You get the Wu CD and it's got the other album covers on the back. Or like there was a. Killer,
they were clever with it,
bruv. There was a Killer Army CD, and the geezer was like. He was in a classroom full of troops and he's got like a whiteboard of pictures of the Wu albums.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was, again, like blueprinty to me. It was like, raw, like I need all these albums. It's like I'd sit there high and looking at this shit. But we'd be in R Price every day. We'd be in fucking Virgin Megastore, HMV, cracking the CD cases, getting...
If you know.
Hell on Earth, the Mobb Deep album, Hell on Earth, bruv.
Yeah.
You know that, bruv, we used to play that religiously. So we play that shit religiously. Oh, bruv, like that album, Hell on Earth, was like a big thing to us.
Did this like give you just the rush you needed? Was this the soundtrack that? Because I often speak to you, like the drum and bass, and even elements of garage were really big in the graffiti scene.
They
anything
were to
UK
a degree. In our circles, they weren't. I think where Cons and Char and like these olders we were knocking about with, they weren't into their garage or drum and bass. So we were trying to emulate them and do what they're doing. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, listening to that was all part of the package. And it was like, like that whole thing, it made you evolve. So in drum and bass, it's different with the bars. Because in hip-hop, they're detailing shit. And these guys are in the fucking projects in New York or wherever the fuck they are.
They're depicting.
And they've done mad fucking lives. Mm. And they, you know, people, and there's guns out there and shit. So you're hearing crazy stories on
and
these
And it
tracks.
Relates more.
Well, in hip-hop, it was like, it might not even relate, but you're like, whoa. Like, even as a young kid, like 15 years old, you're like, this is nuts.
Yeah,
14 years old, like, this is crazy, bruv. Like, you know? Do you know what I mean? It was a whole different...
Know.
Apart from, you know, drum and bass, sometimes you don't really hear what they're saying. So it's about skills in drum and
it's
bass.
It's more about... With drum and bass, it's more about musical notes and what drives you. That gives the feeling of... You can have a note in drum and bass that sounds really aggy and sends you down an aggressive mode.
No, 100%. I mean, but the rap would send me on an aggressive level beyond, bruv. You know what I mean? It's like I weren't scared no more, bruv. It was like...
Not scared.
Yeah, that was like everything. It was like, all right, this is next shit.
How does the music? How does the music not make you scared? Because you knew that what they were talking about was a thing.
I think for me, being like this, the only minority on my estate or whatever, the only black kid, and hearing these racist things get said to me, or getting punched up by people 3, 4, 5 years older than me, or people's dads coming out and doing something to you. You know, they're more likely to do it to you. Maybe, you know, they might see another person that looks like them slightly differently and they might not punch them in the fucking head as hard, bruv. But when you're 12 years old and get punched by a grown man and shit, it made me evolve out of a bit of how I'd been raised and how I saw myself as a person.
Gave you strength.
Kind of gave me strength, but also it was like, along with that, bruv, I was getting into alcohol, the brew raising, right? 98 times. So then you're going raising brews and shit and you're like... So don't get me wrong, I knew NWA and Snoop, all that shit back in the day, but it weren't like this fucking crazy Wu shit.
It wasn't compared to that,
And Mob and that, you know what I mean?
They were
so
like the prototypes.
You're boozing, and then again, there's olders showing you and like, oh yeah, you know about super tenants. So then, you know what I mean? You're drinking that and you're snapping out, bruv. You're like, It ain't like drinking four Stellas. You drink one of them and it is four Stellas.
Yeah.
You know, but then even crazier, like...
I've been to your house parties. Don't act like I don't know. I know exactly how you lot get it down.
Bro, remember them ones? Oh, mate, crazy, but...
That's a whole other story. I'll save that for my podcast.
A whole other world, bro. But, yeah, bro, it was like... That was those times, bro, and it was like... After meeting Beth and all that sort of shit, I remember Dame calming down from that shit. Like, he had his own legal battles and shit going on. So it was like, you know, everyone evolves. You move around squads a little bit, or people, the chessboard moves around a little bit. But like,
chessboard. Yeah, wow, bro. That's true.
Running around with WK, whatnot. This is pumping into like 1999 and shit now. Turn the millennium, whatever, right? Now start moving about with sevens again, WZ. Going to them ends. Now his little crew had grown, bro. It was other shit. And I was seeing what they were doing and some of their crimes. And again, it's like, an adaptation, because they're doing things differently to say how these men did. So it was less about your garms or whatever. They wanted to wreck shit. There was a lot of violence happening, a lot of stealing, a lot of money getting as well. Which
really?
Again, I was like, all right.
Still back on that again.
Bruv, it was like, well, it was like, it weren't as bad as flying over some fucking till, but, you know, raising top-up cards, for example. So, you know, back in the day, they'd put the top-up on an actual card.
Yeah.
So your whole little trick was finding out where the shopkeeper keeps that and then obtaining that box. Or like the old fucking lottery tools, bruv. I learnt this from one of my other mates, bruv. And like, you could lean over, you press in the till and the ting would bounce open. So it was like, he'd seen a shopkeeper do this multiple times, like Woolworths back in the day, bruv. And you'd get fucking racks out of this shit. Or like note raising, like these little cash dispenser boxes. Sometimes the notes would get caught. You'd use a tweezer and pull out the note. Then another note comes with it sometimes, or another note. When in certain times, staff don't even know how to use it. You'd go, like literally this happened to me, bruv, and I went and looked at the cash box and it was about $1,000 hanging out, bruv, just sitting there in 20s.
No way.
Just took the whole thing, just walked out like casual. Like I'm not even appearing like a shoplifter at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm in and then boom, gone in the fucking shadows. But that was the thing. So again, these were like lesser crimes than the crimes I'd done as a little kid, but... You kind of adapted around things and whatnot. And it was like, yeah, brother, I had a loyalty in me. You know what I mean? I think I'd always had a thing. So it's like, if you're my mate once and you've never crossed me, then we're friends forever, bruv. That's our thing. So it's like, I kept bonds with these crews. So all this time I've got Croydon with me. I've got fucking WZ and Morden with me. DFL Croydon, WK, like these guys, whatnot, Dame and these guys and fucking other people.
Just circuits.
You start making a whole network of like of people around you, bruv. So sometimes I speak to about, bruv, and he tells me the maddest stories and I'm like, rah, I barely remember that even happening.
Really?
But like, oh, and then now I remember it and I'm like, fuck, you were there that for all my days. Like, so it's crazy like that, bruv. It's like, that's what I loved about the South, and it's good you sort of picked up about that, because it was like, everyone knew someone who knew someone, or had spent time with someone, or respected someone. The beefs would all happen, but we were all connected in one way or another, you know what I mean?
Getting involved in FDC
and
being a part of that.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
99-ish, 2000-ish. I was kind of out of graph, bruv, by then. It's kind of like, I don't know what I was kind of doing. I think, again, just getting mad into alcohol and weed and shit. Enjoying the music, enjoying the chicks, bruv. So... Yeah. Women pulled me out of it a lot. So, you know, like, I don't know, you get a girl to link or something.
Yeah.
Then you ain't going to go raising. You ain't going to really, but I ain't going painting tonight. Yeah. Someone's going to do something for me, you know?
They do kind of save the soul, don't they?
Bruv, it was that, bruv. And I was like, wow, women, like, this is the fucking earth. Like, this is everything. Yeah. So then it was kind of like, yeah, what did you ask me again? Sorry, bruv.
No, see what I'm saying? She said a W word. As soon as women, it's just already
good. See women here, face
see what
up.
You did there?
The eyes just taint, bro.
Yeah.
Lost, start floating.
Yeah, you should see the pixels don't do it justice. FTC.
Yeah. So them
times. Feels like ages ago.
It feels like a month. Bruv, I do talk a lot, bro.
No, that's funny how we just talk about girls and all sorts.
Yeah, 100. But, so I'd known Cons all them years since being with Char and all that stuff and Dame.
Yeah.
And then, so there was a new batch of writers who came around about the time. I can't even mention everyone because there's so many things happening
at once,
I feel you. But there was
there's a lot of writers back then.
They weren't even a new lot, bruv. They'd all been doing their thing. But they kind of banded together a bit, right? So you had this crew. You had, like, Core. You had Pest. You had Venger. I remember meeting Venger back in the day, bruv, when, again, we were little kids. So this was 97 times, 96-ish, late 96, 7. And he'd, like, heard of our tags. And we're like, raw, like, there's this big guy, like, you know what I mean? Like, knows who we even are, bruv. And then we'd link him and shit, bruv. We'd, like, hang out legends. And all types of shit. So it's like, yeah, yeah, Venger was a legend. Shout-outs to Venger.
And Pest, hold that Pest.
Pest, Core, all of that crew there.
Core, man. So then, yeah.
You know, I'd move around with them sometimes because obviously they all knew Avon, they knew Sicko, they knew everyone else. So I was welcome in that circle too, you know what I mean? I'd be around these people. And then I remember one day, yeah, me, Pest and Cons are just hanging out, boozing, doing what we're doing, my Saturday late night. And then we just fucking start chatting in the morning. And then, yeah, we're just chatting about FDC and shit. And yeah, boom, just put us both in the crew, bruv. And it was like, at that time, brother, we were like the first new people in FDC. Do you know what I mean?
That's what I was going to say.
It had
was
been
that,
the core members before that, your Dyer, your fucking Sir, everybody else. Mm. And yeah, this was like a new thing, brother. And like, me and Pest couldn't believe it, brother. It was seriously like, to us, I don't know, like, hope I ain't speaking on behalf of Pest too much, but it felt like really being invited into something huge.
Self-fulfilling as well.
Definitely, bruv. Like, for me, seeing them do their crazy graph in that graph court when I was 12, and now I'm in that crew, like,
game changing.
8 years later or whatever the hell. So it was like, yeah, just nuts, bruv. So, like, that got me in graphing again more. So I'd want to put that up everywhere, and I'd want to do dubs, and I want people to know I was in FDC, do you know what I mean? But meantime, I'd got into a few other crews. Like, shouts to Taze, man. KTO and
Taze,
shit.
Yeah.
KTO.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, certain man's, even, again, if I saw someone making a new crew and they put me in a new crew, I'd put it up, bruv. I would dedicate to that, bruv. Just like OSA had become like a new thing.
OSA was a new thing, though. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's a few years before that, do you know what I mean? So 98, 99, this is when these crews were coming about. And it's like, yeah, bruv, like, putting that up. But again, like, that was, I had a lot of loyalty, bruv. Sometimes the loyalty didn't come back to me in the same way, but like, I had respect for these dudes because of what they did and on a parallel to what I do and some of the tricks I learnt from those lot, you know? So it's like, yeah, it was ill, bruv. It was an ill time, a mad time of life, bruv. But it's like maybe a year or two after FDC, that's when, for me, bruv, it's like things started to mellow down a bit, tune down, because it was like people were like, things were happening, bruv. You'd hear things like, I don't know, people you know even, like, mad crimes and shit. I don't even want to get into details and shit, but like people getting locked, people dying, certain things going on, bruv. And you were just like, all right, like I need to fizzle out. Like, not even fizzle out, bruv. You felt safe, you felt you could do your thing. But around them times, I must have met a girl, and then boom, like, we, you know what I mean? She ends up pregnant, bruv. And then for me, it was like seeing all these people dropping around me and other shit going on and getting locked. It was like, all right, I need to fall back, bruv, for a second, you know what I mean? I'm like, my buddy, bruv, from 97, the one I did all the crazy shit with, like, he'd had a job for years. He'd left Graf from time, bruv. Mm-mm. And he was doing proper well for himself. And I was like, raw. And I was like, well, you can make money as a working man. You know what I mean? Because that was always the myth, bruv. People fucking olders and shit tell you this myth.
Getting
like,
paid in different
you
ways.
You don't want to get £5 an hour. But it's like, bruv, like, certain times you don't have to be on £5 an hour. You can work your fucking way up to £25 a fucking hour. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's the lesson in this.
It's a lesson in life, and it's a lesson to young people watching this shit, bruv. It's like the sooner you get into that game, the sooner you can build something better with your life, bruv. These crime pursuits, like this type of shit, like no one wins in the end, bruv. No one comes out a fucking millionaire. You might get one in maybe a fucking 1,000 people who get away and get to jump country with their fucking stash, bruv. But nah, mate, it's a myth. The streets are a fucking myth. You know what I mean? Mm. There's olders out there that don't tell the youngers this shit. And they need to know that, bruv. It's like, one analogy I always give, let's say you're fucking 17 and you go get a job and you're at the bottom. People make you do all the shitty jobs and fucking clean the cups of tea and whatever, right? You don't mind doing it because you're 17. It might piss you off. Imagine trying to do that when you come out of jail and you're like 35,
Having to reset all over again.
Yeah, and you got a 21-year-old telling you what to do and clean the floor and whatnot. You're not going to fucking do it. So it's like, you see what I'm saying? It's like so many people, bruv, go down the wrong fucking route. They come out of jail and then they can't do that. They can't do them jobs, or they're too old or too whatever. They go to the interview and don't get the fucking job. So they have to rely on crime. They have to rely on this. And don't get me wrong, everyone loves a bit of fast money and whatnot it is, but bro, it ain't the fucking path. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to do that, be fucking smart. Dip in and jump the fuck out, bruv. But you don't want jail time. You don't want them fucking mad things there. You don't want your own family. You don't want to be risking your shit where your family are coming to fucking visit you. We're not all big men, you know what I mean? All the story, bruv, this is what kept me out of jail, bruv. Like, I had fights when I was a kid, but I weren't no fucking tough guy at all by any means, yeah? I could barely fucking fight, yeah? I didn't want to go to fucking prison, bruv. I'd seen people come out of prison, bruv. Geezer I know went to prison from my estate. This is when I was enough young. He fucking came out. He went into prison. He got terrorized, yeah? Because of the color of skin that the people that terrorized him, when he came out, who did he fucking go for, bruv?
Really?
He set me up, bruv. This geezer, 5-6 years older than me. I'm about 12, bruv.
Yeah.
Bruv, I never got a punching like that in my life, yeah? I got a fucking ass whooping. And this guy was broken mentally from jail. He got terrorized, yeah? But it's like, again, these are like warning shots. Yeah, they didn't probably work because I'm out flying tills and doing crazy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, it made me want to be away from that shit. Like, I don't want to fucking live that little small-minded life that these people have. Push me into graph, bruv, that creative side.
Yeah.
And having that thing where it's like, oh, shit, he's up. Or, oh, shit, people took your stories or whatever it is. That felt much better to me than this crazy shit of going to jail or some bad shit like that happening to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's something to remember. Like, if you ain't no hard rock and you're a young man out here, bruv, then psh, be careful, bruv, because, you know what I mean? You'll end up in circles where you may not be able to handle yourself or escape from that shit, bruv.
Fall into the system.
Fall into the system, fall into the streets, bruv. It's the same fucking thing. You're delving in certain crimes. You're selling certain things. You step on certain toes. It's not just the police that are coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's the other thing. People do these world life things in their worlds because of a necessity. If you haven't got a reason to be doing it, don't get involved.
100%, 100%. And I see that shit, you know. It's like people that have came from good backgrounds or good homes but wanted to be a gangster. They wanted to live a certain caricature. And shit went wrong for them, or they get caught up in the wrong shit.
Yeah.
And then to a certain point, yeah, you become harder and stronger. And then someone that's had a good upbringing now is a fucking off the rails, mad years, doing mad crazy shit. Like, you've seen that shit too, Kels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even, you know, when you go out of the areas as well, you see that shit a lot.
Our country, man. I mean, it's crazy, crazy world. And it's a navigation. You've got to be real savvy. Especially as a young person, you know, it's not the easiest of times where you're listening to hip-hop, or you're listening to something where your peers are rapping about certain things, or you're inclined to be interested in those sorts of things. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to do it.
100%, 100%. I think that's the kind of difference as well, bruv, is that everyone's got different upbringings, different experiences, different levels of testosterone, whatever it might be, yeah? And certain times, someone can hear a tune and go, oh, that's sick, and hear the whole rap and go, wow, he's so prolific. Someone else can hear some shit and they're like, it makes them mad, it makes them think of some shit or fucking a feeling that they've had in their past or whatever it is, and can send people on a certain path or a certain thing. I'm not saying music is the be-all and end-all of shit, but just look at half of this shit with like drill rappers, bruv, like sending for each other and then going and murking each other, bruv.
Yeah.
It's like,
there's a
level of testosterone, bruv. There's a level of anger. There's a level of wanting respect and shit. I was lucky enough to earn my respect through other means where it wasn't gang violence or the streets, do you know what I mean? I could walk down a track and do a great big colourful thing, and I got that feeling of respect and love from that, bruv. I'm not saying everyone should go and pursue that, but it's an interesting thing because it goes into the psychology of males, psychology of young men. You look at a book, The Lord of the Flies, that type of thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
See what I'm saying? School, bruv. School is like that, yeah?
Yeah,
from as early as you remember, there's always someone going to pick on you or bully you.
Pecking order.
Or talk shit.
Pecking order.
You know?
In this day and age, we're looking at graph moving on in a... and being seen in a whole different light. Do you think, how do I put this? It's like Snoop, right? Here's a great example. If we're talking about the music thing, murder was the case that they gave him.
Mm-hmm.
When he first started out, I remember in the newspapers, get this bastard out of our country. Do you remember that?
Yeah, bro, them front pages and that.
Yeah.
Like, I saw them years later, but I remember, like, hearing the old stories and whatnot.
And was a real thing. He was going to court and it was always almost like, you know, challenge the bad guy. He was definitely up there. And
he was a gangster, yeah. Snoop was real. Snoop was a real guy, yeah. That was after the back of NWA. So imagine him and Dre working together and they're like, all right, we can amplify this to this level.
That's
compared to NWA. We can sell much again of that, platinum.
How much of that? And just, you know, following on from where I'm going, we have this thing where he's now celebrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, he's doing stuff. Snoop Lion, he became this peaceful guy.
Yeah.
You know, I hear the guy commenting on Jake Paul's Katie boxing
Perry
fight.
Shit, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
he's there as a comedy commentator on a Jake Paul fight. It's like, you know, Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones the other few months ago. Like, yeah, I get what you're saying, brother. It's like,
and the commonality between that and Graf and the way that I think creative entertainment, they grab things. You've almost got to be bad to begin with.
Yeah. And if you survive it, you evolve it and you then almost get to tell everybody else what's what. Even like, Snoop's a peaceful man now. You wouldn't even think that he did that shit.
Evolution, isn't it? And do you think there's something to be said about the way people perceive or accept Graf now?
I think it's different now, right? Because you've got social media mediums, yeah? You had, like, Flickr back in the day, right?
Yeah.
That was kind of the first kind of thing where people would share photos. Or Digital Jungle, yeah? I remember, like, the first time using the internet and seeing that. So it's like, now it's evolved on where everyone can just post their own content, yeah? People can go out, paint something, it looks nice, photo, boom, it goes up, gets 100 likes.
Yeah.
To me, there's it's a different world. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the same thing as me going on tracks at 1 a.m. to paint the piece for everyone to see it.
Mm.
You now do it from your own fucking living room or your own legal wall. And yeah, by all means, there's people that out there that don't respect legals and don't do that shit.
And I'm not trying to, on trains and everything else. I'm certainly not trying to carve a narrative here. This is just from a...
Ain't to condone any of that stuff. Live how you live. Do what you do. And make equally, sure you're not safe doing it.
And not everyone likes Graf. You know, the people that do it are the people that do it and they do it for their own reasons.
So I think what it is today is that, you know, it's easier to get that sort of fame, to be respected by your peers because you just post shit, you get a certain amount of followers, your shit's there. Or, so be it, you fucking do a train and that shit's running, you get even more fucking respect. So, you know, some people don't respect train writers. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think any of those have been on the podcast.
But I know. At the same time, bruv, I respect what a lot of these people do, where people do a crazy burner on illegal. I've never been someone that's like, no legal walls, no legals, like all that fucking shit. Nah, mate, like, you do what you fucking want to do. You pursue what you want to pursue. Again, I think olders need to think about what they're programming into the kids when you're telling someone they're shit because they did a fucking legal. That guy's staying out of trouble. That guy's saving himself a whole lot of trauma and a whole lot of fucking court dates and maybe a whole lot of nights behind a fucking door banged up.
Mm.
Yeah, so we need to really think about that. It's like, let people be what they're going to be, bruv. Let people do what they do. You know what I mean? Each to his fucking own, bruv. You know what I mean? Like,
I really respect you for that, brother.
Yeah, you pursue what
I knew this was
going to
be a deep podcast. I knew it.
Bruv, it feels like it's just started flowing, mate. It's crazy, bruv. But that's kind of a glimpse of an insight into my beginning and semi-end of, like, graffiti, bruv. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, these days. So me, for example, bruv, I ain't going to do a train. I don't want to. I can't climb a fence, bruv. My knee's done, yeah? I'm an old man. Old man.
Trust me, that's not true. But
it's
we'll
go, you know what I mean? It's like, I'll do illegal happily, bruv, because I get a buzz out of just doing that. Yeah. I get a buzz out of looking at the fucking thing at the end and the colours and the whatnot. In a mad sort of way, it's like where I've evolved through Graf and being a fan of it for so long, it's like my style's evolved, bruv. All of that stuff.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Sitting there doing outlines, whatever it might be. You know, the outlines never left me. The bombing never left me. And doing those sort of things, it's like I still admire people's Graf, people's black books. Like, you wouldn't see black books back in the day unless you knew the guy. So now you see the black books on Instagram.
So true, yeah.
And then you look at that and you're like, you as an old man are like, all right, I'm going to do a fucking full colour piece on paper. And you go right into that, bruv.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like a whole different portal you open yourself. Yeah. Where, yeah, you might not want to climb fences anymore, but you might still have that in you and that talent to do that stuff. Shouts to Met, shouts to Crept, serious black book, serious stuff Reese. Out there, bro.
Reese,
yeah, mate, Reese. All these guys, man, you know what I mean? It's ill out there. Yeah, bruv, like, you get a love for that. You get a love for the whole thing, and it's kind of like, you know, like I say, bruv, when you're doing it as a kid, you might not know why you're doing it or even what's going on. You just want to cause a bit of trouble and do some damage.
That's the youth in you, though.
It's the youth, and it evolved into something else, evolved into a whole spiral out that I've just talked about. Mm. But then, yeah, bruv, and it goes full cycle where I've got a kid now. I don't want my kid doing that. I needed to be there for my kid. I didn't want to get locked up. Didn't want to die, whatever. Mm. So, like, yeah, 2001, when my son's born, bruv, it's like I hung up my hat, bruv. I hung up my spray cans, mate. It's like I'm not really going out to do that. People can look at that how they want, like say, oh, that's not hard body, that's not whatever. But I know plenty of people that try to be hard body and then they ain't there for their kids. They're locked up. The kids got to see them, whatever. And you know what I mean? Eight years. Yeah, come out and your kid's 8 years old, don't even know you and that, bruv. It's like, yeah, I feel sorry for anyone that had to go through that type of pain. But at the same time, bruv, you know, you got to do what's right for you. That's what I'm saying. It's each to their own, bruv. It's like you, certain times you look back and you think, I survived all that shit. There's a higher purpose. There's something else I should be doing in my life. There's bigger or better things I should be doing. You know what I mean? Mm. It's like, you know, shouts to 706, bruv, where he wrote his book, yeah. bruv, and then turns that into a film. And it's like other people like pursuing other like careers and other paths, bruv, with their lives. And you look at it and you think, rah, I could have easily just sat here hating and done fuck all. But you can do shit, bruv. You can do other shit, bruv. It's like, even then, like, from all that madness I did, bruv, you know, I turned my life around into starting from the bottom and working in retail and bollocks like that. But then working in sales, working in a fucking brokers, insurance brokers, boom, 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 on the fucking phones and then making real money, making real fucking money that I would have bust my fucking ass to make on the street, bruv.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, it's no big coke money, ain't none of that shit. But you make a little 4 or 5K in a fucking month, you fucking pat yourself on the back, bruv. Especially when you came from fuck all, where you thought the only way to do that was the streets, or the only way to do that was crime or flicking a fucking till.
So, I think a lot of this also, when you get that steady income, no matter what it is, from a legal source, you create a routine. The human mind needs routine. There's nothing worse than not knowing where your bread's coming from day in, day out.
100%. It's like, even a lot of these kids, yeah, that I left on my estate when I went and pursued graph, it's like, yeah, I'd have to go back there every night and go sleep or whatever. But loads of them, bruv, when they came out of the smashing windows and smashing people up, they became builders, tradesmen, plumbers, all this shit. And they were earning fucking wedge.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? It was like, again, I'm still pursuing bullshit, but they were like living good at them points. And it's like, again, to the youngers out there, you can pursue other shit. You can do other bigger things where it ain't just crime or glorification or ego bullshit.
And I just add as well, the ego bullshit. Like, and again, I don't want to talk condescending to anybody. There are successful people out there. But even being an influencer online, it's few and far between you make anywhere near as good in money as if you were a tradesman, if you were working as a plumber or electrician. Like, that's the real money. People underestimate real money. Influencers don't do that shit. They sit there with their phones trying to be an influencer. It don't work.
100%. It's the same. Look.
Real money.
YouTube. Yeah, there's YouTubers out there making fucking millions, right? Shouts to Jake Paul and Logan Paul, mate. Yeah, killer. You know, you fought Floyd Mayweather, bruv.
What?
Yeah, Logan Paul had a fight with Floyd, bruv. You're talking big paychecks, yeah? Like, again, that stuff, like what you're saying, Kels, is few and far between, yeah? That's like us being a kids and going, I'm going to be like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Is a very small percentage who make that level of money on YouTube, who make that level of money being an influencer or a makeup person.
If you're in any doubt, I do take interns and I'll show you how fucking hard it is.
100%. And I think as well, you've hit a good point there where it's like to some young people now where you stay at home and you got, I'm the same, brother. I'm on my phone. I'm looking at stuff. Yeah. You can easily blur the line where you're like, fuck, man, like this, they're going on holiday, they got all these clothes, look at their trainer collection, and you're thinking, I ain't got fuck all.
I need that quick.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, that's not a real world, bruv. It's like, you know, you see the surface of what people want you to see. It's a PR stunt. But at the end of the day, I don't go online and post like a picture of me bleeding out the fucking ass.
Yeah.
I'm going to post a picture of me on holiday. Do you know what I mean? But it's like we have to remember, our young people have to remember that. There's a thin line between that where it's like, that's not actually everybody's day to day. Do you know what I mean? And I think some people go mad, like, and start pursuing other shit.
Yeah.
You hear these stories, bruv. I watch Scar City Studios YouTube all the time, yeah? Hear these fucking stories, bruv, where motherfuckers went and took the Moncler, stabbed the guy for a fucking £500 coat.
Do you know what I mean?
Bruv, like, you know, yeah, it feels good to rock the coat. I had that mentality once too. I might not have stabbed someone, but I might have fucking done something else to them, yeah? Do you know what I mean? And it's like, we need less of that and more of something else, man.
Yeah.
Like, shout outs to my boy Dame as well, yeah? He just bought his son a little whole studio set up and a microphone. I think that kid's about 11 years old.
That's
he sends
awesome.
Me a video the other day, bro, of a kid's barring and spitting. Like, shouts to Kane, bro. Like, but that's ill. That's ill. That's what I'm saying, bro. When I wish I had a mentor like that. Yeah. I wish I knew a Dame or a Sevens or an About or a Killer Keller or someone else who had a different aim at life, right? Yeah. I might not have done half of the shit I did. I was very lucky. I never went to jail. I got nicked and did all fucking crazy shit, but I was very lucky not to. I saw a lot of people that did.
Well, listen, you know, to play completely devil's advocate on the fence, because the young me was inspired immensely by the likes of yourself, brother. Mm. It's the reason why you're sitting there telling a story. It's, but like, again, this is such a big deal.
It's a bit like Instagram, bruv, where you would see the graph and you'd see us up or whatever, or you'd meet us in a capacity where it's that. But then you might not see, you know, us in co-op and someone smashing in the shopkeeper's head or fighting a security guard or going to jail for some crazy ass shit, you know? So it's like,
That led you to being able to achieve those sorts of things that you were ideally
It would
for.
Be part and parcel. It would be part and parcel. So you're going out every day stealing and raising beers. Something's going to come up.
Do you think that'll ever change? Do you think that lifestyle, because like I say, not everyone adopts the new form of graph. There is a real side to graph, and it is very, very real.
Yeah, yeah,
do you think
that'll
ever change?
Right, even outside of graph, it goes back to the argument of nurture and nature, right? It's like, how do you change the nature of man? We've been this forever, bruv. Yeah. Gladiatorial arenas, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, when I read my mate's dad's book, yeah? When I read Noel Razor Smith's book, Warrior Kings, or A Few Kind Words and a Loaded Gun, best book I ever read in my life, next to Sevens and Lost Boys. But, like, you know, Warrior Kings, bruv, it's all about, you know, the Teddy Boys and different gangs, bruv, and the Rockabillies and shit, and they're out and they're doing mad shit, razors and shit, you know. That's different, bruv. There was no internet back then, yeah? Mm. There was less, I don't know, entertainment and shit that we dealt with.
Hell's Angels shit, that kind of, they were doing the same thing back in the day.
So it's like even more violent back then, bro.
Yeah.
You know, even more violent. You watch films, you know, certain things that take you back to them era, and it's like, the argument is this the true nature of man? Is this what we do? Is this like when we say Lord of the Flies? Mm. Yeah, some of us are a bit more balanced or a bit more restrained. But then some of us have to react when we meet a character like that, and it's fight or flight, yeah?
Yeah.
So you're like in the middle of it and it's like, fuck, what do I do? And then suddenly your instinctual violence comes out. You know, look at capital punishment, corporate punishment.
Yeah.
These things, like, you know, this is the argument. Is this the true nature of man? Is this what people do?
Horror movies, and this is something that I found out only today, horror movies control 80% of the film industry. And even if they're shit, all it takes is one significant scare.
Yeah.
One real unique scare in a film for it to find a place in someone's heart.
So
it'll always stay in the top 10 for ages, even if it's a shit horror film.
It becomes
film.
A cult classic.
Yeah.
Like, look at the Shogun Assassin.
Yeah, there you go.
Shout out to the Jizzle album, man. Yeah. That was sick. With the little kid.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Shogun Assassin was banned at first, bruv. Mm. Because you watch that movie and his limbs been chopped off and there's crazy shit, people losing ears and shit,
all sorts
right?
Of stuff, yeah.
So that's what's a mad thing when you look at that. It's like, yeah, there's a market for it. So look at gangster rap, yeah? Look at drill. All of this active boom on it.
Yeah.
From NWA to today, you know? Even when you go to the rock bands, Metallica and shit going fucking
aggression,
crazy, you know? People get an escape through that. I think men especially. There's a part of that that in your true, maybe underlying nature, your subconscious that relates to it, bruv, and it relates to the get up and go. It's like when I was a little kid, that's all I listened to was rock music, like Metallica, Guns N' Roses and shit like that. It's like these songs would amp me up, yeah, and I've had my own things going on. But again, that music would talk to something in the inner me, something in the subconscious that got me amped. So again, hearing NWA, hearing drum and bass and these hard tunes going off, it was that. And it was like, it's the same as dudes that go like to the football back in the day and there's football violence and shit like that. Yeah, it's like, I feel like there's a piece of that in all of us.
Tribal.
in some of us, yeah, it lays dormant sometimes, but there's this, is it the nature of man? This is the question, you know what I mean?
Mate.
Which is some crazy shit.
Yeah, some crazy shit. And in fact, I would say it is. Mm. It's something that, why are we innate at killing one another? Like, why do we, what is, I mean, we're getting deep, but the truth is there is an underlining core message of not to do something, but ironically, what we are born in, we're born that way.
Yeah.
Graph
so,
as
so
well.
It's like that MF Doom skit, bruv, born this way.
Yeah.
You know? And he's talking mad violent shit. And it's the same thing, yeah, whether you're in graph, whether you're into football, whatever it might be, you might be a pub drinker. Like some people have a couple of drinks, they start trying to fight everybody. Bro.
But football was never in, you know, with graph and just relaying it back to graph, you know, in the same way, if human evolution, we've always been violent, wanting to kill each other, which I've never known any other animal, species of animal.
100%.
But then graph has always been there. It's always been writing on the wall. It's always been somebody scraping something for a rock or something. It
goes back to cavemen and shit.
Hand in hand, when
they're drawing things. I used to watch that series Rome, you know, Rome HBO.
Mad.
And something would happen in the town and people tag it up. People are graphing it or
telling the story.
Yeah, putting little cartoons.
That's
like
the news.
Like vulgar cartoons of the woman getting shagged or whatever the rumour is.
Yeah.
And you know, and everyone else is laughing at it and but really it's bang out of order. Like someone's getting a fucking picture of their mum drawn on a fucking wall.
Yeah.
But again, it's that thing. This is why we watch fucking soap operas, bruv. Mm. It's like we're just glad it ain't us.
Yeah.
We're glad it ain't us going through that. And that's why people are like, oh,
they
shit,
like the pain.
Did you see EastEnders? Oh, my days.
You're watching the pain. You enjoy it. People enjoy the pain.
So this is where shit evolves, right? Like, look, boxing's always been a thing and whatnot, martial arts. But then now look at MMA, bruv. And, like, look at the level of violence in an MMA fight compared to boxing. You know, and it's
crazy.
And MMA is massive. It's
do you remember
huge.
When you first watched UFC? And I remember watching them, and it was some weird torrent site.
Yeah.
That shit was
way
scary.
Way back 90s. Yeah. Where you'd have the karate guy versus the wrestler.
And it'd just be
shit.
Like, you know, I mean, it was all of the dreams come true if you were into those mixed martial arts. But
100%.
But dude, I remember watching them, and I was like, yeah, they're going to kill each other. That was a real thing in my head. I'm like,
yeah, even the gloves being so different. You know?
Yeah.
Being like, you know, you're causing damage where a boxing glove is padded so it doesn't fuck your face up.
Really causing
but
damage.
But it's just fucking your face up type of thing. And it's interesting where that evolves from, you know, we watch combat sports since the beginning of time, but now look, that's beyond. So where does this go next?
Yeah, exactly, because now you're getting young people and it's just like, you know, and again, just going back to the youth, it's like, what the fuck are we feeding people?
100%. I think with me as well, though, brother, and people on my estate, right, they grew up with fuck all. Most of them had single mums, all that shit. I had a single dad. Whatever your problem is, whatever your insecurity is, right, when you have more insecurities loaded onto you as a child, yeah, and in your founding years, and you grow up in an environment around this, you learn this violence, you see it happen, you adapt into that. Or someone tries it with you. And when you get fucking upset and you got tears in your eyes, you ain't going to run away. You're going to start smashing somebody up. And that's what it was, bro. And I think that's in a lot of us, a lot of like sometimes working class or poorer people. It could be a fucking rich person who had anything happen to them, but... If that shit's dormant in you and you don't even realise it, you've had no therapy, no nothing.
You're waking the lion.
Especially back in our day, bruv, you know, no one was on this mental health stuff or anything else. It's like, get on with it, son. Wipe your tears, whatever. I'm not saying my old man said that, but there's a certain degree of that shit, which is like...
No, it's peer pressure. That was
peer pressure and that's what's around you. You know, people take the piss out of you if you were fucking crying.
Yeah.
Or if you were crying, they go fucking smash them up. Someone pass you a brick or something.
True.
So, yeah, I think there's a part of that where, you know... I guess that we've all got some pain in us, we've all got something, and we all handle it differently or react to it differently. But maybe on a bigger scale, maybe this is where the violence comes from. Mm. Maybe this is where the adrenaline rush comes from, where you want to go out all night painting trains, you want to steal.
And in 2022, I mean, we have a lot of OGs that come through as well, and sometimes the stories outweigh the decades, and you think to yourself, wow, that's... But there's a lot more horrific things that are going on in the world in 2021, 22, 23 compared to what...
Yeah, completely. So, bruv, like, you know, that reminds me as well, bruv. It's like I used to think of my life and, like, when certain things or, like, discovering about my mother's death and trying to get over that, all that shit. And I used to think real hard done by myself. I used to think, fucking hell, bruv, like, I've had such a shit life. But then you'd hear someone else's story.
Mm.
Or there'd be a writer you come across and you're like, oh, my days. Mm. Like, fucking hell. Like, you know what I mean? You're, and you compare, bruv, or people that would be close to you would tell you some deep shit one day. Shout-outs to the ecstasy and the MDMA pills, bruv. They'll make... That's the biggest fucking truth teller in the world, bruv. They make a motherfucker open up.
Really?
You get all loved up, bruv, and you're like, oh, yeah, 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 boom. Or you tell a sad fucking story. And then the people around you, if it's your real friends, you know what I mean? They're listening and they're there for you, bruv. It's a love drug, innit? It's like, I'm not saying you're going to love your mates. Pause, yeah? But it was that, bruv, that someone will expose some true shit to you and some real hurt that they've had in their lives, and you almost understand that person better to why they behave that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Or sometimes you'd hear it about somebody else and you go, okay, like, I can kind of get why he's like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's sort of, again, bruv, it's like, I think when you've grown up in certain environments, a certain decade, a certain point in time, I think that's where a lot of these writers came from, bruv, you know? A lot of people had some shit and then that was what, this became their release, whether it be the violence, the theft, the wanting to be the man, trying to be something bigger than what you was at that age when you might have been hurt or bullied or had, you know, trauma or someone leaving your life, trying to be bigger than that and trying to overcome that. I think that's where my whole money pursuit and everything else came from. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I didn't have a good time in junior school and that, bruv. Like, where I'm washing my own clothes in a sink and that. Like, sometimes I couldn't be bothered to do that shit. I was fucking, I don't know, 11, 9 years old and shit. You know what I mean? And it's like, I'd go to school dirty, bruv, you know? And people were fucking mocking me at school. You're still a little kid at that point. You're not able to really defend yourself and intimidate people. But it's like, I look back on that. Yeah. And it's kind of like, that's where I'm like, right, I want fresh garms. I want this. I want this. I want this. I want sneakers.
Yeah,
I want.
There you go.
And I see people dressed to the fucking nines in these raves. That's where it all came from. So it's like, and that kind of never left me in a mad way, bruv. It's like clothing and styling and all that shit. I've always loved all that shit. But yeah, it's like when you put that psychologically, it's all about self-analyzing sometimes.
Mm.
You self-analyze, you fucking don't bury your head in your sand. You don't sugarcoat nothing about yourself. You get to really know yourself. You get
deal
to
with the matter, deal with it proper.
It's almost, I've never been to a therapist in my life, yeah. But it's like you start to pick things apart and you start to understand yourself and why you did those things. That's then allowing you to adjust, to grow and to heal, become a better and bigger person and calm the fuck down.
Mm.
And a million people will tell you the same thing. It's like, yeah, like some people go to therapy and hear that and discover that about themselves.
Yeah.
But shouts to YouTube as well, brother. It's like you could sit there all and watch so many of these videos and learn so much 100%. About it. Like, I think that's where my trauma is, or that's why I'm this or whatever it might be. And it's like...
And I hope this episode actually, because more so as a narrative, I think that the moral of it is... You know, everyone's going through shit. Everyone has different circumstances.
Mm. Look at the lockdown, bruv.
Be like, nice to each other. Like, fucking hell.
100%. There's a level of peace that has to be out there.
Louder like, comments, you
when
know. Like,
when you get to peace with yourself, then, yeah, the comments, bruv. You know what people don't never think? I said this was my little quote the other day. I said, like, everybody's a mental health advocate until it's time to take the piss out of somebody, which is so real, right? Everyone's like, puts up these quotes, mental health, but then your mate does something or he's pissed up or whatever the fuck and you'll rip him, or he's doing something else or something else. And it's like, yeah, I don't do that. My mates don't do that. But I sometimes go in circles or in workplaces where people ain't lived the life I've lived.
Yeah.
And I've had people try and do it to me and I'm like, listen to me. Like, I don't do fucking banter, do you understand me? Like, don't think you can tell me a joke or make me a fucking asshole of your joke when you don't have a fucking clue what's gone on what's got me to this point where I'm standing in front of you right now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, again, exactly what you're saying, the fucking comments, the banter, the whatever. I can't imagine, motherfuckers need to imagine and think, bruv. Like, someone told me a long time ago, you don't joke, you don't go, oh, your mum. Right?
Yeah, never.
That person's mum might have died last fucking night.
Yeah.
And then he's gonna cut your fucking head off, bro. That's the thing, bruv. I don't mock no one like that. Not to any of them kind of extents, you know what I mean? And it's like, that's why it's a weird world out there. It's like somebody might not be violent, but there might be a nasty little bully.
And there's this extension of conversations online and text that can be misconceived or misunderstood, misinterpreted in a certain way. Mm. It's not even worth it.
Because it doesn't.
Sometimes that shit just does not translate. We're all very different.
100%. It don't translate. But I think it's the thing of pausing to take a minute and go, do I need to say this to somebody? Or it's so easy now to go up to a stranger's video and go, hey, fucking whatever, whatever, or take the piss. Like YouTube, in that sense, again, it shows the, excuse me, the nature of humanity and human beings. Where, until YouTube, bruv, I've never read so much fucking racism in all my life.
I know. And the comments
and sexism and crazy shit and fucking homophobia, all this shit going on, bruv. It's like,
behind closed doors and shit.
They're behind closed doors. They're anonymous. That's why they're doing it. But it's like those people, they're getting their own escape. So it's like we're saying about violence and people fighting or whatever, and that's their escape or their way to cure what's inside.
Yeah.
So like someone might have this insecurity and trolling someone and writing a fucking comment is their little way of curing what's inside, bruv. Yeah. And it again, shows a horrible side of what the nature of man can be at sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you've also kind of got to be... I know this isn't what you're saying, but it also leads to the idea of... even your haters love you too. And there's something going on in there. If someone's doing something, you know, whether it be dogging work or, you know, being out there just, I don't know. I think there's different...
Yeah, kids, people going out dogging. So
dogging not, work. Not that type of dogging. No, not type of dogging.
Don't get excited,
We're talking graph terminology.
We're talking graph, lining people out, But, yeah, even that, brother, not leaving their name. So I was by a commercial road, brother, and I'm just seeing people, motherfuckers get lined the fuck out. And I'm like... All right, no name. And I think you're a pussy. You're a fucking dick. Bro, if you got that many problems, join a fucking gym. Go fucking fight. Go do what the fuck you need to do in a legal capacity,
yeah?
But you're probably too weak to do that.
Because you're damaging someone else's mental health by doing the things you're doing.
100%, bruv. But, you know, like that sort of shit, like anonymous. It's so easy to be anonymous and leave the comment or look around, no one's looking, and line out that fucking shop shutter and line out that person's tag. The fuck? Like, in my day as well, like, you know, you're seen as an idiot. If you're lining someone out and not leaving your name, you're not signing your name, there's probably no point in even lining them out. It shows more about you than how you think about their tag if you're doing that to someone's shit, you know what I mean? It's like our whole thing was, if you're going to line someone out, you had a beef, you own it, you sign your name right next to that. But you know what I mean? It's like, again, you're dealing with a certain level of people. Who knows, bruv? Who knows where that shit comes from? It's that inner trauma and shit. So I feel like Jordan Peterson right now talking all this shit.
Hold tight. Vid Peterson inside.
Vidian Peterson, mate.
Go to the FDC Centre. Look, ask for vids.
Ask me. I'm here 9 to 5,
That's the one. Bro, it's been a pleasure having you on.
100%,
and I think there's been some huge enlightenment that's been going on the podcast. I mean, literally... I love it when people have got stuff to say and the message is clear. Be the best person that you lot can be.
Yeah, man. No, it's deep. And I'm glad I came here, bro. It's nice to even talk about that shit. I mean, you talk about that stuff all the time back in the day.
Yeah.
I think what you're doing is a sick thing as well, bro, because you're documenting a certain era. You know, in mad years to come, it's like when I read Razor Smith's books and I'm like, whoa, like this crazy shit. It's like in years to come, they'll read Sevens' book. They're like, whoa, this crazy shit. They'll watch listen to Killer Keller podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, you watch them old documentaries. You see them old fucking dispatches and shit.
Yeah.
Like that Michael McIntyre with the Chelsea shit and all that. These are permanently documented. And that's what you're doing, bruv. You're going into a whole era of culture, of a subculture that little is known about. Yes, it feeds us. It feels good for us to watch it and have that shit permanently documented, but this is a piece of history that you're making in real time, and I respect you for that, my bro.
And it's good to have you as part of the documentation, the ever-expanding tapestry that's going down in here.
Safe, my G. I just want to say, like, RIP Sum, RIP Sicko, RIP Moda, RIP Scheme, RIP Dyer, RIP Crazy Mandem out there, you know what I mean? It didn't make it, but... Bless you. You're always in our hearts. You're always remembered, bruv. You're out there. I'm sorry for anyone I've missed the names of. RIP Baff. Yeah, mate. Ill. Killer Keller. Video. F Diesel. WZ. Shout outs to Sevens. Shout outs to the Belts.
Yo. And on that note, we are out here without a fashion, all right? Subscribe. You know the deal. Don't talk to anyone I wouldn't. And try and avoid the comments. That's what I'm saying. Have a normal, happy and prosperous life. Nanu nanu and all that business. Stay lucky, people. See you on the other side. Peace.
Got it in.